And we pray, and then we will read the Bible and talk a little bit. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, as we open this book, that you have promised that it is a living and powerful word, and that you speak to us when we read it. So, God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to think your thoughts and to feel what you would have us feel so that we could become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, flip over to Matthew chapter 7. We will get there in a moment. So as we're going through Matthew, we're in a place where Jesus is doing a lot of teaching, and he's talking about several different topics and all kind of in the same section of Matthew, and so we're listening to what Jesus would say to us. And today, he answers a question that we don't ask. He answers a question, so right away, that's kind of like, you know, mental turnoff. It's like, not sure I want to even know the answer to the question, because if I don't ask it, why would it be important to me? Jesus answers a question that we never ask ourselves, and the question is, how should I treat other people? And that's not a question I go around, honestly. I don't go around asking that. Sometimes I ask myself the question, how should I treat other people so that they think well of me and I don't look bad? But honestly, how should I treat other people? How would they want to be treated? That doesn't cross my mind that often. I'm more worried about, how are you going to treat me? How will other people treat me? How do I want to be treated? Because the thing is, we want to be treated well. Whoever you are, we all want to be treated well. We spend our time thinking about how we want other people to treat us, how we want other people to speak to us, how we want, you never hear someone telling someone, you know, like chewing somebody out because I talk badly to you. It's always what you talk badly to me. We think about how we want to be spoken to and how we want to be treated, what we want people to say and do to us and what we don't want them to say and do to us, how we want to be treated. We want to be treated well. We want to be treated with generosity. I want you to be generous with me. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, wanting to be generous with you. I'm sorry. That's the way we're built. That's in our nature, that in our sinful nature. That's who we are. I want you to be generous with me. I want you to have grace towards me when I commit faults, when I do things I shouldn't do. I want you to be very gracious to me. And at the same time, when you do something you shouldn't do, I'll be the first in line to point it out. With very little grace. I want you to be interested in me, in my life. So if you come up and talk to me, I really hope that you ask me about what I'm interested in, and that you ask and talk. Let me go on and on about what I like, because I want you to be interested in me, and I want you to want the best for me. And I say all that, and I know that's how we are, but so many times we don't even realize that we're that way. And that's because we're, in our human nature, we're very selfish. We're very centered on ourselves. We want other people to treat us well because we're selfish. I'm at the center of my little universe, and everybody else who's part of that kind of revolves around me. And the main thing that's important there is how you treat me, because I'm a selfish person. I wake up thinking about what I want. You know the time management system, to-do list. I get up in the morning and I write down a list of things, and it's all about what I want to accomplish. Nothing wrong with having your to-do list. I'm going to write one out tomorrow morning. I did one today. But we wake up thinking about what we want and what I want to get done and what I want to get out of my day and out of my life. And when other people start being factored into that, it's always through the lens of, how are you going to help me get what I want? How is your treatment of me going to be good for me or bad for me? So if you treat me badly enough, I might just kind of put you to one side, because it's really important to me that I get what I want. I evaluate everything as I go through the day based on how it's going to affect me. A couple nights ago, I was going up to Omaha. My wife flew in from, she was visiting her family, and she flew back, and we were going to pick her up with my boys, and there was just this huge traffic jam on the interstate, which, that's a place there shouldn't be traffic jams, and I was going to be early, and we were sitting there 37 minutes to go 1.5 miles. It was horrendous. And I was just sitting there the whole time. I was thinking how it was affecting me. I was going to get there late. I was going to look bad. I wasn't going to be standing there waiting with my boys filming it, you know, when my wife walked down the little thing up. That's actually up. So up the little thing. It was all about how it was affecting me. And then I was also taking advantage of the time to think about this message that I was going to be presenting today. And then I started looking around. I was like, this is also affecting all these other people around me. And I thought that for a minute, but then my mind instantly flipped back to how it was affecting me. That's how we analyze everything. And we decide how we're going to treat other people based on how it's going to affect us. I treat you a certain way because of how you're going to treat me, or how it's going to blow back on me, or the reaction I'm going to get from you because of how I treat you. And see, things don't work when we treat each other that way. When I go through life thinking about what I want and treating you based on what I want to get from you, and not thinking about you and what you would like and how you would like to be treated, but rather how I want to be treated and what I need to get through my day, when everybody goes through life like that, it doesn't work. Nothing works. We get stuck on looking for, on all of us looking for our own interest. And that's why we get angry with each other. That's why we complain. Why do I complain? I complain because you're not treating me the way I think I should be treated. Why do I whine about other people? It's because they're not treating me the way I want to be treated. Why do I get mad at people? It's because they're not doing what I think they should be doing for me. That's why there's conflict between people and people that don't like each other and bitterness. And why? Because one person didn't treat the other person the way they thought they should be treated. And then the other person didn't treat the other person the way they thought they should be treated. And now they're not speaking to each other and they're not friends. And that's why people fight and go back and forth. If you're married, or if you have children, or if you talk to people during the week, you've experienced this. You go back and forth and you're fighting. What are we fighting about at its root? I'm not getting treated by you the way I think you should be treating me. And I'm upset about that. We're going to have conflict. And you feel the same way. And we get stuck by our pride in our marriage. Pride is also part of it, but that's not what I'd written. That's not what I meant to say. We get stuck by our selfishness in marriage, in our families, in friendships, in work. Think just for a minute about your life and how this dynamic of looking for how people treat you and not being particularly interested about how other people want to be treated, how that's affected your life and how it affects your life on a daily basis. And Jesus gives us, in Matthew 7, verse 12, he gives us the solution to this situation. He gives us a solution, and what he tells us is we should treat other people how we would want to be treated. Say, really? That's really simple. I know it is. I got out of bed and came to church for that. Well, it's so simple, but it affects us profoundly as we go through our lives. We should treat other people the way we would want to be treated. He answers the question, how should I treat other people? Treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were them, if you were in their shoes. Look at the first word or two of that, depending on your translation. In verse 12, it says, so, which it could be so then. That's another way that could be translated. So then. So then, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Before we look at the whole part of it, look just at the first part, the so. Why is he going to tell us how we should treat other people and the way in which we should treat other people? What's his motivation for that? He says, so then. Well, he's referencing the passage that we looked at last, the teaching we looked at last week. What does the teaching we looked at last week say? It says that God is the best father who listens and responds to his children and gives them what they truly need. Look at verse 7. Because this is the so then. This is why Jesus is saying you should treat other people this way. He's saying, because I just told you, God treats you that way. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is a good Father who gives us what we need, what is in our best interest. He takes care of us. He listens to us. So then, because God does that for you, now here is how you should treat the people in your life. You should treat them the way you would want to be treated. That's why we should treat other people. And so then he starts out in verse 12. So then, because that's how God treats you, whatever you wish that others would do to you, so however you would want to be treated. So this would mean before I speak, before I do something, before I even feel something, you do something or I see you and I have a feeling, before I feel or think or do anything, my kids are around and before I speak to them, before I'm like, go there and do that, and you do it, before I think, before I do anything, I should think to myself, okay, in this moment, if this were me, not them, if I was in their place, how would I want to be treated? How would I want to be spoken to? What would I want to be done to me? It's putting yourself in the other person's place as if you were them and thinking, okay, what would I want to receive in this moment? How would I want them to talk to me and treat me? That's what Jesus is saying. However you wish that others would do to you, whatever you wish that others would do to you, and see, that's how we realize, it opens our eyes to how we actually should treat people. Because when I'm looking at life through my perspective and my lens, I can be very justified in treating you in any number of ways that probably aren't the nicest. But when I put myself in your place and I think, okay, how would I want to be treated if I were you? If I were right now sitting where you're sitting, what would I want? Okay, then that opens my eyes to this is what I should do. And it's probably not what I would have decided to do by myself. It clears up not what am I justified in doing or saying to this person, but what actually should I do? And then what does Jesus say? Very simple commandment. Whatever you wish others would do to you, so put yourself in their place. Think, what would I want them? What I want to be done or said to me, do also to them. It's an order. He's giving a commandment. It's not an optional thing. It would be kind of nice if you maybe thought about it. Okay, put yourself in their place. How would you want to be treated if you were your child or if you were your spouse or if you were the person working next to you, if you were your friend, if you were that person who's not your friend anymore, if you were your family member who you're kind of estranged from, if you were that person, how would you want to be treated by yourself, by you? You know, you're both persons in that scenario. Okay, do that. Treat that person that way. That's how you don't. It's not just an idea. It's not just a thing that you can. Okay, maybe I'll do that. I'll put that in the mix of all the different things I could say and do. He says, "Do that." It's a commandment, and when we obey this, it affects everything that we do with other people. It affects how we think and feel towards other people, because if I was my child, I wouldn't want my father to be impatient with me. I would want him to be happy with me. So that's what I should do with my child. It affects what we do for other people. It affects what we say to people and how we say it to them. It affects what we say about other people when they're not there. It affects what we give to them. You see, obeying this command requires a huge amount of sacrifice. And that's why it's such a simple thing to hear. And all your life, you've probably heard the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. We've heard the golden rule, but it's so simple, but it's so hard to do because it requires sacrifice. It requires putting yourself in the other person's place, thinking, what would they want, not what do I want out of this situation, and then doing and saying and being that for them. It requires complete sacrifice, which I'm not really good at. Maybe you are, but it requires seeking what they want, not what you want. That's hard. And then Jesus gives us, he sandwiches this difficult command with two motivations. The first motivation is, because God is like this to you, you be like this to other people. That was the first one. Then at the end, he sandwiches it with a second motivation, which is, if you do this, you're going to be obeying God. You're going to be obeying all the commandments that God has given that have to do with how you treat other people. Everything will be obeyed if you just put yourself in their place and do to them what you would want them to do to you. Look at how he ends it. For this is the law and the prophets. That's the motivation. He said, do this. Treat other people the way they would want to be treated. Why? Because then you'll be obeying God. And see, I've heard this, you know, the golden rule said kind of proverbially, didn't say that right, but you know what I was trying to say, kind of as a moral, you know, thing, like, do treat other people the way you would want to be treated. Why? Well, because then they'll treat you the way you would want to be treated. Jesus doesn't say that here. That's not a promise or part of his command. He doesn't say, if you treat other people the way they would want to be treated, they'll treat you the way you would want to be treated. A lot of times, if you've lived long enough, you know that doesn't happen. You can treat people really well the way they would want to be treated, and they'll still treat you badly. That's life. They'll still be selfish with you. That's the way life is, because they have the same fleshly human nature that you have that makes you selfish. No, Jesus doesn't say, do this to other people, and then they'll do it to you. He's saying, you'll be obeying God. That's an even bigger motivation. They might still treat you in a completely selfish way, but you will be obeying God in your treatment of them. That fulfills the law and the prophets. That's what it means to obey God, treating other people the way they would want to be treated. Think about that for a moment, just how that would work out. If you take, like, say, just the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments that have to do with how you treat other people, think about how treating other people the way they would want to be treated would make you just automatically and naturally obey those commandments. So, like, honor your father and mother, one of the commandments. I have to think about, I need to honor my father and mother, or I could just treat my parents the way I would want to be treated. If I were them, I would be honoring them, because I wouldn't want a disrespectful son. That's really convicting. Let's move on to the next. Don't kill. See, if I go around and say, okay, I can't kill that person, but I don't like them, and Jesus said I can't hate them either. Oh, that's, I hate those commandments. Or if I treat you the way I would want to be treated, then instead of killing you or even raising my hand to strike you, I would never do that. I wouldn't even be upset with you. I wouldn't even feel bitterness towards you. I would love you, because that's how I would want to be treated. In the Ten Commandments, it says don't steal. Don't steal. Don't take what's not yours. Don't even steal your company or your boss's time. You know how you do that, right? It's called YouTube and a lot of breaks. Okay, don't steal. Don't take what's not yours. I do that too, so that's more confessional than exhortation. And he says, don't steal. Now, if I'm thinking about what I want, I'm going to end up taking what I want. But if I'm thinking about what is best for the other person, what I would want if I was the other person, I'm going to be a much better worker and a much more honest person. I'm not going to take what's not mine. He says, don't lie about other people. Don't bear false testimony. If I'm thinking about how I would want to be treated if I was you, I'm not just going to not lie about you. I'm naturally also not going to lie to you. I'm not going to speak poorly of you to other people, because I wouldn't want to be treated like that. I'm not going to get upset and angry with you. He says, don't covet. Don't desire what's not yours, what someone else's. And at its root, coveting is wanting for me instead of wanting for you. When I put myself in your place and say, what would you want? I want more for you, not more for me. You see how we don't just obey the Ten Commandments. We obey all of God's interpersonal, interrelational law and commandments when we simply say, how would I want to be treated if I was in that person's place? And then we do it. And Jesus says, you'll be obeying God when you do this. You'll treat other people the way he would want you to treat them. You'll treat other people, he starts out by saying, the way he has treated you, automatically, without thinking of all the different things you have to do. So what should we do? To obey Jesus? This is another one where the application is written into the text. We should treat other people the way we would want to be treated. So by way of applying this to our lives, think for a minute about some of the different people in your life. And ask yourself this question. How would the life, this person, that person, not your life, how would their life change if you started to ask yourself in every interaction with them, how would I want to be treated if I was them? How would I want to be treated if I was them? How would that cause you to treat them differently? How would you change the way you treat people and the different relationships you have in your life? And see, if you have not given yourself to God, if you haven't become God's child, this text today is not so much an invitation for you to treat other people the way God would treat you. Rather, it's an invitation for you to receive that treatment from God, to let God treat you in the way that you most need to be treated, in the way that would be best for you. The text today is an invitation for you to receive from God the thing that you most need and that would most in your deepest core desire. It's life and purpose and being loved and being forgiven and having a connection with your Creator. And all you have to do to receive that treatment from God is to accept Him, to give yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized and making a decision that you will make Jesus the King of your life and you will give yourself to Him. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, you can tell someone and you'll be guided through repenting and being baptized and making the decision to give yourself to Jesus. And if you haven't made that decision, just a question I want to leave you with this morning is, what's stopping you from doing it? What's stopping you from letting God pour upon you the best treatment in the world that He could possibly give to someone? Because He offers that to you. And if you already are a Christian, if you have made that decision to follow Jesus, then this text this morning is not just an invitation, but it's a commandment from your Lord and Savior to treat other people the way your Father has treated you. You've received that from God. And now you need to give this same treatment to other people. Your Father is asking you to treat people with the same philosophy that He has treated you. So think for a minute again. Who are the people in your life, the people you interact with on a daily basis, the people you live with, the people who are around you? How can you treat them more in the way you would want to be treated if you were them? What does that look like practically? With your children, in your marriage, with your family, with the people you work with. How does your life change, and how do you change how you treat them? By putting yourself in their place and treating them the way you would want to be treated if you were them. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to You, and even as You've asked us in the text today to do something that is very difficult, to think of others and what's best for them and what they would want more than ourselves, and to treat them like that without taking ourselves into consideration. You've asked us something that's difficult to do. But even as you've done that, we're reminded of how that's how You treat us. You treat us by Your grace through Jesus in a way that we don't deserve to be treated. You offer to adopt us, make us Your children, pour Your love and forgiveness on us, to accept us as our Father, to make us Your children. And that is incredible. So God, I pray this morning that You would give us the grace for some of us to accept that, to make a once-in-a-lifetime decision of repenting and being baptized and giving ourselves to Jesus. For others of us, God, I pray that You would help us to give that same treatment to other people, to treat other people with the same grace and love that with which you treat us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.